1 Thessalonians, chapter number 1, and when you're getting there, if you'll stand as we read God's Word, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. The Bible says this: Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, and having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Lord, we love you tonight. God, I'm thankful, Lord, to be able to come to this place. And Lord, we do, God, want to make mention, Lord, of all the prayer requests, Lord, that were made mention earlier. Lord, we ask, God, that you'd answer every single one of them according to your will. Lord, I ask, God, as you help us tonight, Lord, as we dig into the Bible, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to get some truth, Lord, apply it to our life. God, that we leave tonight, Lord, changed, different, Lord, challenged from your word to be better Christians, to be more like Christ, Lord, to impact our world for the cause of Christ. Lord, everything that's good that's done here, Lord, in the name of Jesus, be lifted up and magnified. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Well, if you're going to cook something, I remind you a couple weeks ago, if you're going to cook something, it's going to turn out right, you have to put in the right ingredients. You got to put in what the recipe calls for. And if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, as we look in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, I find the ingredients, if you will, to a thriving church. The ingredients to a thriving church. What we looked at last Wednesday night was we learned how that the church of the Thessalonians was number one. They were an elect people. Would you look with me in verse number 1? He says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And I want to remind you tonight that the word election has the idea of choosing. It's not that God chose them for salvation, but God chose them for a purpose. Their purpose was to be an example to all the Macedonians and to everyone in Achaia. And can I remind you tonight that God has called you for a purpose? You may sometimes feel that you don't have a purpose, that you don't have a cause. I know, especially sometimes older folks, they feel like maybe they're not here for a reason. They don't have a purpose, that yes, heaven is sweeter, but please understand tonight that if God has given you breath in your lungs, I do not care who you are, you have a purpose, and God wants you to fulfill that purpose. You are an elect individual called out for a purpose. But number 2 tonight, I want you to see, as we look at the ingredients to a thriving church, they were an exemplary people. An exemplary people. Look with me in verse number 7. Paul says this: so that ye were and samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. That word "in samples" means this. It means they were a pattern. They were an example, a pattern. And can I ask you a question tonight? Are you setting the pattern of what a Christian should be? When people look at your life, do they see, well, they pattern themselves after the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I ask the parents a question in here tonight? Mom and Dad, if your children turn out to be just like you, will you be pleased with that? Will you be pleased if your children turn out to be like you? Well, let me challenge you this. You should be. You should be pleased if they turn out like you. Why? Because you should be striving to be like Christ. You should be setting the pattern. And as a church in our community, remember, the church isn't the bricks. It's not the wood. It's not the pulpit. But you are the church and I am the church. We ought to be setting the pattern for lost people. And can I say this? Other churches as well. We ought to set an example to other churches of what God's church should look like. So I want to give you a couple things on how they were exemplary people. How did they set the example? The first one, if you have a bulletin in your notes, you'll see the blank there. They received the word. They received the word. Look with me, verse number 5. He said, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." Verse number 6 says, "And you became followers of us, of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction." You know what Paul's saying? He said, listen, there was persecution that was taking place. You knew the price of the word. You saw how we were persecuted, yet you received it anyway. You took it in. You believed what we were telling you. They received the word of God. They received the gospel. They received what Paul taught them. I was thinking the other day after church, we ask our children, as we sit around the table on Sunday, most of the time we eat at the house, and I always ask my children, "What did you learn in Sunday school?" I ask them, "What did your teacher teach you? What did you learn in children's church?" And they begin to tell us all the things that they learn, and I want to make sure that they get a grasp on what they're being taught. Did they receive the word? My discipleship class, some of them are in here tonight. We are walking through the Gospel of John. This week we are to read John 1 through 15. And when they come back to my class, we're going to talk about what God taught them. Are they receiving the word? And I want to ask you a question tonight. And I want to challenge you. How are you applying what your Sunday school teacher taught you on Sunday? If we're not careful, we ain't even thought about it. Do we just hear what your Sunday school teacher taught? Do we even remember what they taught you on Sunday? It's getting quiet, church. Did you receive it? Or did it go in one ear and out the other? And you don't even remember what the preacher preached on. You don't remember what the Sunday school teacher taught on. Can I say, if that's you tonight, you didn't receive the word. And I'll be honest with you tonight, I've been there. If we're honest, we've all been there. But there's a process of receiving the word. It isn't something that we allow to go in and go out never having applied to our life. What will you do with everything that you've been taught this week from Sunday school to Sunday morning, Sunday night to Wednesday night? Listen, if we're going to be a thriving church tonight, we must receive the word. Listen, Sunday school and preaching of the word of God isn't just a little time that we set aside just to check the box. No, we do these things so we can receive it, take it in, and meditate on it. When we meditate on it, we begin to apply it to our life. So when we walk out those doors, we allow the word of God to change us. And the only way that we're going to be a thriving church that is exemplary, that sets a pattern, is we receive it. We meditate on it. We apply it. Did you apply God's word this week, what you were taught? Did you apply what your Sunday school teacher labored all week digging in the word of God? Did you apply it to your life? Did you receive it? Hearing and receiving are two different things. And Paul says this, man, you received the word. I began to study that word received. And I would encourage you, just because you may think that you know the definition of something, look it up anyway when it's in your Bible. And that word receive means this, to take possession of. See, if I don't remember what my Sunday school teacher taught me or what the preacher taught me through the Word of God, I did not take possession of it. It went through my hands, it went in my ears, and it left me never taking possession. I was thinking about the Carolina game on Saturday, beat Miami. Somebody praise the Lord right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Beat Miami. They clawed their way out of that game, but you watch those quarterbacks, they look for those receivers, they throw that ball, and if the receiver's doing what he's supposed to be doing, if it's a good throw, he'll catch that ball, he'll tuck it in. But sometimes the ball, they get it and it'll slip through their fingers without them ever taking possession of it. And I feel like sometimes if we're not careful, church, we'll hear everything that we're taught in the Word of God. You may do devotions, your teacher may teach you, the preacher may preach the Word of God, and it's as if everything they labored just went through your fingertips, never, and you never took possession of it. But can I tell you tonight, if we're going to be a thriving church, if we're going to set the example, we've got to receive the Word. Paul says you received it, and they received it with much affliction. We're not being afflicted and persecuted tonight because we're having church teaching the Word of God. They did, but yet they still received it. Receiving the Word means taking possession of it. It's yours. I dare say too many families will go home tonight. They'll prepare for work, never to take possession of the Word of God that was taught. John 8:31, Jesus says this, "If you continue in my Word, then are ye my disciples indeed." How soon we are, how dangerous it is that we forsake discipleship because we do not continue in His Word. That word continue, or that word continue means to abide, not to depart from. If we're going to be a thriving church as an exemplary people, we must receive it. And I dare to say this, we always talk about sports, we talk about work, we talk about hunting, we talk about hobbies, etc. But never about what we learn through God's Word, through church or devotions. Listen to me, don't expect your children to think God's Word is important if we don't ever talk about it. Amen. We talk about everything else, don't we? But how often does our children hear us talking? Man, this is what the pastor taught me. This is what the Sunday school. Man, I was reading my Bible today, and this is what I learned. If our children never hear us talking about things, number one, that means it's not important to us. Number two, it's going to point to them that, hey, God's Word isn't important. We need to be careful. Listen, if we're going to set the example, set the pattern to be a thriving church, we need to receive it. But also, they didn't just receive it, they sounded the Word. Look with me, verse number 8. "For from you sounded out the Word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." Their faith was known all around the region. Paul said, I would try to go witness to people. I would knock on doors and try to tell people about Jesus. But by the time I got there, they told me that they already heard it from you. So I don't even need to try to witness to the people of Macedonia because they've already heard it from you. Man, what a wonderful thing it'd be that if we go to try to tell people about the Lord, they say, well, actually, someone from your church has already told me about Jesus. Wouldn't that be a good thing? You know what that is? That's a thriving church. He said, listen, look at the last part, verse number 8. "So that we need not speak anything, but also in every place." I couldn't try to tell them. Verse number 9, "For they themselves show us of what manner of entering in we had unto you. When we came to you, how you received us and you accepted us. It's known of all regions." They sounded the Word. We're quick to talk about politics, but what about God's Word? Are we sounding forth the Word of God? That word "sounded" has the idea of a trumpet. It means to thunder out. They're setting the pattern because these people, and also I do want to remind you, you cannot sound the Word unless you receive the Word. You see what I'm saying? You have nothing to sound out unless you have received it. So step one, we've got to receive it. We've got to meditate on it. We've got to ponder it. Then when it's in us, listen, when you get a good dose of the Word of God, you just can't help but to sound it out. You say, man, they're a thriving church. They're receiving it and they're sounding it out. They're setting the pattern because they received the Word of God. They sounded the Word, but also let her see, they were a prayed for people. They were a prayed for people. Look with me, verse number 2. Look what Paul says. "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." Can I ask y'all a question tonight? How many of you would love Paul praying for you? Now look, you can act spiritual tonight. Well, I've got the Lord Jesus Christ, intercessory prayer for me. I do not need it. Look, I want everybody. I want Paul. Amen? I'll take Paul. You may not want Paul, but I'll take Paul. You know what he's saying? Every time I recall you, I'm consistently recalling you into my memory, and I'm praying for you, church.
Can I tell you, that's the ingredients of a thriving church is because they were prayed for. So here's my challenge to you tonight. Are we a prayed for people? I'm not trying to discourage you by any means what I'm about to say, but I do want you to understand this. Outside of the local church, you don't got a lot of people praying for you. Now, I know you probably got some family. You probably got some friends. And you may be different. Let me just take that back. Let me just tell you about me. I don't got a lot of people praying for me outside of here. I got some family. Got a couple friends, maybe the church where I come from. But this is it. But I'll also say, it's enough. So here's what I want you to understand. If we fail to pray for each other, who's going to pray for us? They're a thriving church because Paul says, man, I am praying for you. So I want to challenge you tonight, church. We take up prayer requests. And we need to be invested in this. We need to be invested in that. It may not mean a lot to you when somebody's got this going on at job, or Billy's got decisions to make, or Ezra's got to have an MRI on Friday, or Ann Coggins has to have shoulder surgery. Listen, it may not mean a lot in your world, but can I say you need to hit an altar and say, God, would you put tears in my eyes? God, would you break my heart? Because Paul says in Corinthians, when they suffer, I need to suffer. And if we're truly going to be family tonight, man, when somebody's broken, we need to be broken. When somebody's praising the Lord because their mama's recovering well from surgery, we ought to say, praise the Lord. They're a prayed for people. Invest. And listen to me. If you want to be prayed for, you need to make your prayer request known too. Don't get mad and bitter because nobody's calling you or checking you in when you ain't told nobody what's going on in your world. Amen. Y'all know, listen, we ain't investigators. We ain't working for the detectives. We ain't going to be prying everything out of your heart. No, you come to church and hey, I got this going on in my world. Would you please pray for me? Amen? You make it known, we hear it, we pray for it. Prayed for people. Stay involved in the prayer requests of others. Let others know, hey, we're praying for you. I know you got this coming up. I know you got this decision to make. I know you got this going on in your world. I'm praying for you. I'm telling you, I don't know about y'all, but it encourages me when somebody, and they're not vague. Well, I'm praying. No, hey, I know you got this happening tomorrow at this time. I want to let you know I'm praying for you. Don't that encourage y'all? It encourages me. Hey, man, they remember. That's how we ought to be, church. We need to be invested, stay involved, let your prayer requests be known. That's how they were a thriving church, because they invested in praying one for another. Paul said, I'm making mention, I'm praying for you. Letter D, they're a thriving church. They're setting the example. They received the word. They sounded the word. They are prayed for people. But letter D, they followed their spiritual leaders. Look with me in verse number 6. Paul says this, and ye became followers of us. Who? Look back in verse number 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. The word follower means imitator. When they got saved, they began to imitate Paul and Timotheus and Silvanus and the Lord. They followed them. Hebrews 13:17 says this about spiritual leadership. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. They followed their spiritual leaders. Can I say, I believe we got some good leadership in this church. I do with all my heart. And I believe we have a church that follows the leadership. You hear horror stories about Baptist churches and business meetings, you know, maybe you ain't never heard a horror story. I guess growing up as a preacher's kid, you just hear crazy stuff, you know, but man, we've had business meetings ever since I've been here. I ain't seen no knockdown drag outs unless it happened after I went to the house and y'all just stayed over here and did it amongst yourselves. I remember this when I was candidating here at the church, Brother Shane was putting gas in my gas tank as we was going home, September 2019. And I said, Shane, I said, if the church votes on us, I said, I'll let you know I'm not changing nothing for a year. Every pastor I've talked to says, don't change nothing for a year. Preach and love the people. And we did. But I'll never forget what Shane said. He said, he didn't call me pastor then because I wasn't his pastor. He said, Brother Philip, I said, I'll let you know, our church is ready to follow. And I can attest to that 3 years later. They are. They were and they are. And I believe they continue. Listen, a thriving church follows spiritual leadership. Paul said, you imitated us. You followed us. You pursued after us. A church that will get a hold of God's vision revealed through the leadership can do wonderful things. They followed their spiritual leaders, but also letter E tonight. Thriving church, how they set the example. Their salvation was evidenced by their actions. Look with me, verse number 3. Remembering without ceasing, watch this, your work of faith, your labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God. Work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Their actions were evidenced, or their salvation was evidenced by their action. Can I ask y'all a question tonight? And you can answer it out loud if you want to. How do other people know that we're saved? What is it? Love the brethren. What else? It ain't deep. It's real simple. Preacher, how do you know that's right? Jesus says in the book of Matthew, let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When you get to the book of James, if we was to pull the book of James out of the Bible and read it, we would think that we have to work in order to be saved. But we know that's not what James is referring to. He's talking about in the sight of men. Your salvation is only evidenced by how you love, what your actions, your good deeds. Listen, it's still right to do good deeds as a Christian. It's still good to do good things as God's people. If any people ought to be doing good works and good things, it ought to be God's people. We know we don't do that stuff to be saved. We do it because we're saved. We love people because we're saved. We do good. We're kind. We love people. And Paul says, your work of faith, your laboring of love. Their salvation was evidenced by their actions. Sometimes, listen, people claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet we scratch our head because of the way they live. Tell me you're saved, you're born again, you're a Christian, you love the Lord, but yeah, everything you're doing, do y'all know anybody like that? I do. And can I say this? We've been them too. I've been that person. Paul says, men, a thriving church, their salvation's evidence, your labor of love, your patience, your work of faith, labor of love. Can I ask you a question tonight? Is your salvation evidenced by your actions? Do people even know that you're saved? Because you can tell them all you want to, but if you live differently, they're scratching their head. And they're questioning. And y'all know the same old thing you hear when you try to invite people. Well, I don't go down there because it's a bunch of hypocrites. Yeah, that's not a good excuse. But the bad thing is there's probably a little bit of truth to it. Because what they see. Is your salvation evidenced by your actions? And I really want to drive this home, church. We're not part of no... Listen, there's wonderful organizations, there's wonderful clubs, and there's great people that do wonderful things. But if anybody ought to be doing good things, it ought to be the church. It ought to be us. Because there's plenty of lost people out there pushing an agenda that are doing great things. It's a sad day when Christians aren't doing good things. We give them the gospel and we love them and we do good works. So why? So we can point them to Jesus Christ. Lastly, you don't have this in your bulletin or it's on the screen, but I want you to write this in if you got any room anywhere. Letter F. They were no longer... This is how we're setting the pattern. This is how we're going to be a thriving church. Oh, he's got it on the screen. You don't have it in your notes, I don't think.
they were no longer dominated by sinful habits. I want you to look with me at verse number 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Paul said that they told us how you accepted us when we came to you for the first time. But notice the last part of verse 9. And how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. If you'd study the church at Thessalonica, every portion of where they're at, they could always look up. They were always in with a 50-mile radius of the mountain to see the God of Olympus. And for centuries, these Thessalonians were taught that that is who their God was. It was on Olympus. That's who they worshipped. That was their idol. But the problem is, the God of Olympus could never change their life. But when they tasted the living and true God, Paul says, there was a change that took place. And he had the power to change their life. Can I say today that, well, see, preacher, we don't have idols. We may not bow down to physical things. I understand that. But we had missions conference. We were introduced to some men who did bow down to idols. In fact, Wednesday night, we took the men to Culver's in Mukumu. Mukumu was from India. And Mukumu was saved out of Hinduism. And I was picking with Mukumu. I got a cheeseburger. Now, if you know anything about Hindus, I bit into my cheeseburger. I said, Mukumu, beef, yum. He couldn't eat it when he was a Hindu because they worshiped the cow. A cow was their god. But praise God, the day he got saved, he was able to eat some beef. Amen. He didn't worship the cow no more, but he turned to the living and true God. I said, Mukumu, praise the Lord for some beef. Amen, my brother. He said, amen, my brother. Beef, amen, good. Turn from the idol to worship the living and true God. Listen, we don't grow, our culture don't understand that. But I'm telling you, you go to South America, you go into South Africa, you'll see the darkness of idols that they worship. But can I say, we may not have physical idols, but what about possessions? Do we worship possessions? What about a comfortable life? How much priority of having a comfortable life do we give? Does it become an idol in our life? What about money? What about pleasure? Can I tell you, our culture is chasing pleasure. They're pursuing pleasure. Every day in front of your eyes is nothing but to pursue pleasure. It's become an idol in our culture. Can I say they were exemplary people because they were not necessarily saved people who live like the world. They were saved people who lived different from the world. Listen, we are still called to be different from this world. We are called to be different than this culture. It is still in the Bible to be holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. To not be dominated by sinful habits. In closing, can I show you? I want to point this one thing out. I'll be done. I want you to notice the order of this verse. He says how you turned, watch this, to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They did not turn from idols to God, but they turned to God from idols. It was their turning to God that caused them to turn from idols. Listen to me. Turning to God will cause you to turn from sin. You cannot get the order out of place. I'm just going to quit my sin habits. I'm going to quit this and then I'm just going to go to the Lord. No. You get to the Lord and allow the Lord to help you with your sinful habits. They said, man, we just went to this living and true God. And then when we got to God, these idols weren't an issue in our life. They turned to God. Turning to God will help you turn from sin. Thy word have I hid my heart that I might not sin against God. You want help tonight with your sinful habits? Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Quit trying to stop sinning without the Lord.
Quit trying to kick the sinful habit and not read your Bible and pray and be faithful to church. People all the time want to be a good Christian, but yet they leave the Lord in the dust. No, run to Jesus Christ. Walk with Him. Read your Bible. Get in the Word and pray and be faithful to church. Then I promise you'll find real quickly you ain't going to have near problem with your sinful habits as you thought you did. Go to God. Let Him help you. Turn to God. Walk with Him. Are you an exemplary person tonight? Are you setting the pattern of what Christianity should be? They were. Paul said, man, you're setting the example in Macedonia. They received the Word. They sounded the Word. They were a prayed for people. Are you praying for your church family? They followed the spiritual leadership. Man, he said, you followed us. You imitated us. Is your salvation evidenced by your actions? Are we doing the good works that the Lord wants us to do? And are you living a life that's not dominated by your sinful habits? And I want to tell you tonight, listen to me, you ain't the only one. We all got struggles, right? But let the Lord Jesus Christ help you. Let the Holy Spirit help you. Run to Him. He will help you. Paul says, it's the love of God that constraineth me. They were an example. Church, can I challenge you tonight? Let's be the example. If we're going to be a thriving church, listen, we're elect, we're called out for a purpose. We've got a purpose to fulfill here in Salisbury, North Carolina. If we're going to be a thriving church, we've got to fulfill our purpose, but also we need to set the pattern. Let's set the, when converts come in here, listen, when a new convert comes in here and they get saved, they join our church, do you know what they ought to be looking around? All these wonderful people setting the pattern of what a Christian should be. They ought not, how dare them to have to struggle when they get to know a church member of Tabernacle Baptist Church who ain't living the way that they should be. No, they'll look around and see a bunch of examples and pattern, man, I want to pattern that life after him. And man, I want to pattern my life after her. And man, I want my kids to pattern their life out of that individual. They ought to look around and see a bunch of patterns, a bunch of examples. That is part of the recipe of a thriving church. Let's do it tonight. Amen. Let's pray. God, we love you. Lord, help us tonight to be, Lord, a thriving church, not just a surviving church, God, that's here filling a spot and a time and a space and a building, but God, that would be thriving. Lord, you want us to thrive. Lord, you want to do a great and mighty work through this place. Lord, help us to fulfill our calling. We are an elect people. You've chosen us to do a wonderful work here in this area. Lord, I ask, God, that you'd help us to set the example, to be an exemplary people, Lord, to receive the Word. Lord, not just to let it slip away, Lord, what we're taught every single week, but Lord, to possess it, Lord, that we would sound out the Word. Lord, I ask God that you'd help us to live a life of good works that evidences our salvation. Lord, help us not to be dominated by our sinful habits, but Lord, to run to you. Lord, so that when people come to this place, Lord, they can pattern their life out of who they are around them. Lord, I ask God that you'd help us to be a prayerful people. Lord, well, there's so many burdens. There's so many things that are happening. Illnesses, surgeries, people who are sick, people who are knocking on death's door. Lord, I ask you, God, that you put a fresh burden in our heart. Lord, to invest in one another's lives and to lift them up before the throne of grace. Lord, help us to be an exemplary people tonight. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed tonight.